Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Scandal, allegations involving NBA stars, rigged poker tables, and La Cosa Nostra. More than 30 people charged with Operation Nothing But Bet, including Portland Trailblazers coach Chauncey Billups and Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier. They're accused of illegal sports gambling and poker rigging schemes, allegedly backed by the mafia.
The what? Okay. I don't know about you, but you know, I first saw this story and I thought, basketball, gambling, mafia, blah, blah, blah. And then I saw poker games, rigging, x-ray tables, mafia, NBA. And I'm like, wait a minute. What the hell's actually going on here? This seems like a crazy story. Also, it apparently has two different names. The one that she said, and then also there's Operation Royal Flush. But I'm assuming that the one has to do with the basketball games and the other one has to do with the poker games. They're related but not identical, so it's kind of like a two-prong scam. Think of, the Sting, only they're not just running a horse betting operation. They're running horse betting and also betting on football, except that it's poker and basketball rather than horse racing and football. I think I've made it worse by explaining it.
Former Cavs player and assistant coach Damon Jones also indicted for allegedly selling injury secrets involving LeBron James and Anthony Davis to sports gamblers.
Injury secrets? So you can bet on not, I don't think it was game outcomes per se. I think it was more like fantasy sports, single game performance numbers, you know, because I mean, you can bet on anything, right? I mean, you can bet on the duration of the anthem at the Super Bowl, right? So you can bet on anything. You know, you can bet on how many rebounds somebody's going to get. I'm guessing. John, you tell me if I say anything that's wrong, but I'm assuming that you can bet on anything like that, right?
You can.
Okay.
And I think a lot of it's centered around the over-under.
Yeah.
With the injury reports.
Okay. So are they going to get over this many points or under this many points?
Right.
So people like to bet on individual players in games and how well they're going to do.
Correct.
Okay.
NBA Hall of Famer and Portland Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups and Miami Heat star Terry Rozier have been placed on immediate leave by the NBA after their arrest as part of a stunning gambling scandal.
This is the insider trading saga for the NBA.
Two schemes naming more than 30 people, according to charging papers, including four well-known mafia families in New York City.
Your winning streak has ended. Your luck has run out. Violating the law is a losing proposition, and you can bet on that.
Okay, can we talk about getting this federal agent a better speechwriter?
Yes, for sure.
Yes, you know, the eighth grade puns are not cutting it for me with the tough guy talk. Your luck has run out. Actually, if they got him saying it like a Pentecostal preacher or, you know, Southern Baptist preacher, it might actually
be good.
Your luck has run out. There is no profit in playing the cards. You know, like that would actually kind of work for me. I don't know. I was born again in a Pentecostal church, so it kind of sits well with me. John agreed with that.
Yes.
You know, get the guy up there who's, you know, like the backup PIO for, you know, right. The Department of Justice or the whoever, the FBI, you know, and that's his background.
Exactly.
I would hire that guy in a second to be my comms director. I don't care what you say. Nobody's going to care what you say. Just say it that way and all will be good.
Yes.
The indictment involving Billups outlining a national illegal poker ring, wooing wealthy players known as fish into rigged games, stretching from the Hamptons to Las Vegas. Prosecutors say Billups and former NBA player Damon Jones were called face cards, using their fame to lure unwitting victims. But authorities say the NBA pros knew the games were a high-tech scam, rigged by the mob, and cashed in.
They used custom shuffling machines that could read the order of cards, barcoded decks, and hidden cameras built into tables and light fixtures.
Court documents showing one of those shufflers disassembled, and this poker table taking x-rays to reveal cards down.
What?
What?
Yeah, so they have poker tables that had x-rays going on underneath so they could see through the table to see the cards. And then they could tip people off on how to bet. And I guess it's kind of the old adage of, you know, if you know, every poker table has a, you know, a mark, and if you don't know who it is, guess who it is?
It's you.
You know? And so they'd bring these people in, these high-stakes gamblers, and they'd play these rigged games where they knew what everybody was holding, and they'd tell people how to bet. I'm, you know, some of the particulars that I think has not been made entirely clear, but also they had, so it wasn't enough to have the x-rays on the cards. They would have sort of marked cards, apparently, but also they would have card shufflers that would either tell you how the cards were coming out, or, and I don't know if this is even, it doesn't seem like it'd be possible, but, you know, would actually fabricate certain deck layouts so that you could have certain hands. And I mean, it's every piece of technology being brought to bear to try to fleece people out of their money during the playing of poker games.
Defendants used other cheating technologies such as poker chip tray analyzers, which is a poker chip tray that secretly reads cards using a hidden camera.
So you know, you're trying to, you got your chips in front of you, you're sitting at a table, it's you, it's your belly, it's the edge of the table, then it's your poker chips in a tray, and then it's the cards in front of you, and you kind of lift up just the corner of the card so you can see just what you've got, like if you're playing Texas Hold'em or something. And apparently the cameras were in the trays so that people, if the x-rays weren't good enough and if the shuffling machine wasn't good enough, they put eyeballs directly on the cards so that they could fleece these people. Or so that they could fleece these people.
Contact lenses or eyeglasses that could read pre-marked cards.
Jones.
Special contact lenses and marked cards.
Why didn't I think of any of this?
I mean, how many kinds of cheating do you have to do to make it work?
Jones and an attorney for Billups not responding to requests for comment. In a separate case, Miami Heat guard Rozier now charged for his role in a criminal betting scheme. Authorities pointing to this game in 2023 where Rozier left early with an injury. Prosecutors say he had tipped off others first so they could place bets on his stats that night.
They placed wagers on unders on players to score less, rebound less, assist less, using information that was not yet public.
Yeah, like Cash Patel called it the basketball version of insider trading, and it is, only it's way worse. I mean, it's not just insider trading. It's insider trading in connection with the mob and this whole scheme to defraud people. And, you know, oh, I'm at, you know, 9 rebounds. Oh, my calf. Little tense here, coach. Take me out. You know, like that kind of thing. Bet the under on my rebounds, bro. So,
wow.
Holy smokes. So the lesson of the story is don't bet.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, simple. You know, don't bet. I mean, you be, or only bet for fun if it's under a threshold that you can easily afford to lose and not care. You know, because there's this long-standing conversation about the ethics of betting and gambling, particularly within religious communities. Because, you know, religious people, there's kind of a split. The Catholic world doesn't really have a problem with betting. You know, I mean, bingo night at the Catholic Church is long-standing. You know, this goes back to, like, remember when Bill Bennett was, you know, caught doing these high-stakes gambling, and Catholics were like, yeah, and? I mean, it's his money. Yeah, I mean, there's just, you know. And then within the Protestant world, typically there's this longstanding opposition to gambling. Gambling is like drinking, is, you know, like all the terrible, horrible things in the world, you know, mixed bathing and, you know, dancing, for which people, you know, are, you know, they're doing their sins. And so gambling is one of those, you know, like playing pool is one of those. And so there's a disagreement. It's kind of the idea of, you know, should you be wagering money? Should you be, should luck be a part of your mindset? Anyway. I've always had the opinion that whatever you might think about significant gambling, which is, you know, again, you know, large stakes, things that can affect your life, pro or con, small scale gambling was basically just paying for the entertainment. You know, you you go to a movie and you pay $15, and if you go play poker at your friend's house for the night and you put $10-$15 into the kitty, you know, usually you just lose, and that's what you paid for the entertainment. You know, sometimes you win, and you went, oh, hey, you got paid for the entertainment. Look at that. But this is way beyond all of that. I mean, this is literally, it's just fraud. It's not even gambling. It's just fraud. Wow. 520 on News Radio 92.3. That's why I don't bet on fantasy sports for basketball. That reason only.
That's the only reason?
I've been in a lot of churches.
I can tell.
And I love all my pastors who do all their weird voice inflections and, you know, things for emphasis. But let's just say it's not my cup of tea exactly. It doesn't mean they're not preaching the gospel. It just means they're preaching it in a really weird voice.
Hey, listen to this. All it needed was a new starter. Got a great deal on eBay. Did it myself.
Yeah, that's cool. But how about the soft purr of an upgraded exhaust when it fits just right?
For me, it's the little things. Like these new windshield wipers from eBay I installed.
From small fixes to big upgrades, eBay has all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Well, goodbye, if you're sure you won't have any more.
Is there any more?
No, there isn't.
I thought not.
Oh, you had picked this for your songs,
for
too?
The bumper music. Yeah, coming up.
Coming up. Okay, yeah. So it's... Wait, well, that'd be like an hour from now. Well, more than that. Wow. Next time you'd play a bumper. No, top of the hour, I guess.
Yeah.
John and I are each responsible for different slices of the bumper music. Top and bottom of the hour, that's coming out of the news, basically. It's him. And in between that, it's me. If you hear the sound clips, it's me. If you ever want to know who to blame, you know, for a song you don't like,
just blame him.
Yeah, no, that's generally a good practice. By the way, the reason I played it was because the co-founder of Soft Cell, Dave Ball, passed away at 66.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I didn't know that.
Kind of playing, couple of their greatest hits throughout the day today, you know, major innovator in the new wave music. So if you think of, and if you don't know what new wave is, because, you know, you're 25, that's okay.
Just Google it.
You know what you know. But think, I'm going to name a bunch of bands and you might have heard of one. Okay, like Depeche Mode, Cure, Yaz, Erasure. That whole genre, kind of a post-punk, soft, synthesizer-based English, you know, like 14th wave English invasion. English are always coming over here and invading us with their music, which is good. Because it's brought us things like the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and, you know, New Wave. And punk, you know, so the Clash, whatever. 524 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Partisan gridlock continuing in the Senate, keeping federal workers unpaid as the government shutdown now enters day 24. Democrats blocked a GOP bill that would pay essential workers. Republicans rejected two Democrat proposals that would have paid all federal employees, and apparently the standoff continues into next week.
But it's good to see that all of the legislators who aren't getting their jobs done, at least they're getting paid.
Yes, that's what would so really cool. be. That I mean, would cool. worry me a lot if they didn't get paid.
Yeah, I mean, so. We got people worried about their SNAP benefits. You know, we got military people worried about their pay. We got, you know, hundreds of thousands of federal workers wondering what the future holds. But at least Congress is getting paid.
I mean, we're taking care of the important things.
That's right. Yes. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, one who is not taking his money, Jimmy Patronis, is one. We're going to have him here, 7:35 this morning, in studio taking your calls. We're going to kind of do a – he was going to be in town anyway, and he called me the other day. He was like, hey, I'm going to be in town. Can I come by the station? I'm like, sure, Jimmy, of course. What do you want to do? And I'm like, let's go on the radio and take calls. I'm like, okay, cool. So you can text in your questions. In fact, even if you want to text him in now – I'll add them to the list, 437-1620, but that'll be at 7:35 this morning.
That's fantastic. I love how open he is to always taking questions.
I agree.
Target is getting rid of 1,800 corporate jobs in its first major round of layoffs in over a decade. New CEO, I hope I say his name right, Michael Fiddelke, announced that move in a memo on Thursday, saying it affects about 8% of the company's corporate staff. 800 of those positions are being eliminated entirely. And apparently employees...
Goes to Target. All right.
Employees won't be notified until Tuesday, so there we go. Oh.
800 of y'all are going... Or your jobs are going away
breaking
on
that news
Tuesday.
Here.
You ever get a note from the boss like, come see me at the end of your shift? You know, come see me tomorrow morning. About what?
Bring your playbook, son.
Well, this would be the worst. I mean, come see me on Tuesday. Oh,
so we're firing 800 of our high-earning people, very costly. You know, it's going to save us on our bottom line. Who's losing their jobs? Talk to me Tuesday. So they're going to work Monday? Is Monday a holiday? Monday's not a holiday.
I don't think so, no.
So there's all these people that are not just working today, but they're working Monday. They got the weekend to mull it over. See, and then on Tuesday,
this is how you get the most productivity on Monday. Everybody's vying to be at the top.
Everybody's doing everything they can today, and you know, too late now, bro. You're on the list. Go on.
Let's see. For the first time now in more than 500 years, the King of England and the Pope prayed together at the Vatican. King Charles and Queen Camilla joined Pope Leo inside the Sistine Chapel in a show of unity. Marking a step towards closer relations since England split with Rome in the 16th century.
So, okay, I'm a little light on my church split history, but I think I'm going to be right about this. It's interesting in part because the church split between the Roman Catholic and the Anglican, or if you're an American Episcopalian, was essentially over the matter of divorce, right? Henry VIII, and being able to divorce a wife and remarry. And so he started his own church, the Church of England. And so now you have Prince once, who was married to Diana, got divorced, right?
Right.
And that was a big scandal.
Yeah.
And now he's remarried. So you have a divorced and remarried king of England. Seems familiar. Praying with the Pope, who is, you know, still the Catholic Church is no divorce is a good divorce, right? There's no such thing. So I don't know. It's just interesting. You know, after all these years, I mean, if they could have figured this out 500 years ago, then there wouldn't have been a church split and we wouldn't have Anglicans and Episcopalians. John, you're a religious guy. To get anything wrong? That about
no.
right?
Yeah.
It's weird, right?
Nailed it down, yep.
Okay, all right. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:28 on News Radio. It's so funny what you can know really well at one point in your life, and then later on, you're like, I believe I used to know this stuff pretty well. I mean, when I used to do the religious show in Phoenix, I mean, I could quote scripture, you know, chapter and verse and all of this. And now I'm like, I think Paul said something like this. Kind of like I'm giving the New Andrew translation,
right.
You know. It's what you're immersed in. Same thing for philosophy. I was thinking about that the other day. I was trying to, you know, think if somebody asked me a question about Nietzsche and be like, well, so this is what I seem to recall from 30 years ago.
Right.
Oh, man. Hey, if you need to do a real estate transaction of any kind, Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty can help you with that. And, you know, you say, what differentiates one realtor from another? Well, lots of things. I mean, obviously, you got to work with somebody that you trust and like and respect and think they can get the job done. One thing, just to kind of keep in mind, I always tell you about the prolific success that they have had, she and her team, at selling houses. But one of the things she tells me is that it used to be a couple years ago, it was real easy to sell a home. Now it's not as easy. So homes are sitting a little bit longer. Sometimes what that means is that they'll get not just one realtor can't sell the home, but even multiple realtors that can't sell a home. And she was telling me, Andrew, what happens is they'll kind of go through a couple of realtors, and then they'll come to us, and we'll sell their house. And even as many as five times. Can you imagine having five different realtors can't sell your house, and then you make a call to Christina Leavenworth, like, zip, zap, boop, done. I mean, that's amazing. So give her a call and find out why she's so effective. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinky Realtor. Just look her up online.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump says he's cutting off trade negotiations with Canada over a TV commercial featuring President Ronald Reagan criticizing tariffs and a 1987 radio address.
The ad was actually placed by the province of Ontario. The Reagan Foundation, though, took issue with it, saying the ad misrepresents the presidential radio address and the government of Ontario did not seek nor receive permission to use and edit the remarks.
And as Fox's Douglas Ader, the president leaves for Asia tonight, where he will meet allies as well as Chinese leader Xi Jinping. They'll talk tariff and trade. Officers opening fire on a U-Haul truck backing up toward officers at the U.S. Coast Guard base in Alameda, California. Immigration protesters were there all day. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got clear skies, 55 degrees this morning in Pensacola. Well, local food pantries tell News Radio 92.3 that more families have been asking for help recently due to economic uncertainty surrounding the government shutdown and the potential loss of SNAP benefits at the beginning of November. St. Vincent de Paul Food Pantry's food coordinator, Julie Stewart, tells us some of their usual donations have dropped off a bit and they've had to tighten their belts and skip purchases to put their money all towards food.
To make sure that whatever we hand out to our neighbors is going to be enough to get them through if we can. And then we're going to try and I'll be darned if I'm not going to close. I'm not closing before Christmas. I can't do that.
And that, Stewart says that they're asking for whatever donations folks can afford to give right now, whether that's the food in their pantry they really don't like or other canned items. She says they also need toiletry items, and cash always helps them to get more food to give out. She said they had about 20 new families just this week when they opened on Tuesday. Donations can be made at the pantry on West DeSoto Street. Well, Florida Senator Ashley Moody wants Senate Democrats to end what she's calling the Schumer shutdown. Moody said on the Senate floor yesterday, Democrats need to act in the interest of all Americans and not a radical subsection of their base. She said, it's time to restore funding to core government functions and ensure troops, law enforcement officers, and other essential workers receive their paychecks. Now, the effects of the shutdown also being felt in the Big Bend area today. The Tallahassee Urban League said yesterday, Head Start programs in Leon, Madison, and Jefferson counties are all closing. As long as the federal government is closed, the TUL estimates that over 300 students will be affected there. Parents have been told to put their kids in daycare programs at two local churches instead. Well, we're just over a week away now from the kickoff for the 2025 SEC Women's Soccer Championship Tournament at Ashton-Brosnahan Soccer Complex in Pensacola. That tournament starts November 2nd. It'll run through the 9th. And it will showcase the top 12 teams from the Southeastern Conference. 10 teams have already qualified. Those include Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Georgia, and Tennessee. Auburn, Texas A&M, and Florida are vying for the final two spots. This year marks the fourth consecutive hosting of the championship in Pensacola, following a successful event last year that saw Texas win its first SEC title. Games will run daily leading up to the championship match November 9th. Tickets are on sale now. They also have all tournament passes available for $46 for fans that want to make sure they see it all. It is 5:34, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today. Temperatures warming up near 81 degrees for your high. Plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 79 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Showers and thunderstorms moving in for Sunday. 60% chance of those showers and thunderstorms. High near 76. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, now 55 degrees with clear skies. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 29th to Pensacola Beach. Presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFSEA chapter, get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Good morning, 5:36 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Friday to you. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to our good friend, dear friend for a long time, Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Fortunately, not much is going on.
I'll take it. That's always good. Whenever I talk to the cops and they're like, nothing's happening, like, sweet, I'll take it. It's kind of an odd question, but it had come up in a news article I was reading, and only because you guys are involved in this switching over of the firearms, going from the Glock 45 to the Glock 22, I think is the way it's going. I may have that backwards, but from the 40 millimeter to the 9 millimeter plus the red dot sight. Do I have that right? From the 45 to the 22?
No, you have it backwards.
Backwards, from the 22 to the 45. Okay, I knew I did as soon as I said it.
Right.
In any case, the story was that Glock, because of the California prohibition on selling ones that are compatible with the Glock switches, which, by the way, have we seen that in the city? Have we seen people having Glock switches? No, okay. I know it's been occasional in the county, but very occasional. Anyway, they prohibit sales, and then there was a story running around that Glock was actually going to discontinue a bunch of their traditional platforms because they are of the type that California bans. But there was some discrepancy over whether Glock had actually said this or whether it was just a rumor or what. And I couldn't verify it one way or the other. So my question to you is, is this changeover that you guys are in the process of doing, is it already accomplished, and is it affected at all by this whatever's going on?
It's still in progress. I believe we'll have it completed in mid-November, but I'm not aware of any issues related to what you're talking about affecting us.
Okay. All right, good. Yeah, and when I tried to look, it seemed like maybe even if it was going to affect, you know, commercial production for, you know, civilians, that it's still, they would have their whole law enforcement category and, of course, you know, whatever else they do. So I didn't think it would affect, but I wanted to check because I hate to see the idea of my cops being interfered with because of some weird development in the production of handguns. Anything happen over the last week or so that we ought to know about? Maybe something at Wahoo Stadium? Is that what you were telling me before we got on?
Yeah, that happened Tuesday night. We've had this happen again, and for some reason, young folks around Pensacola think that because that's an outside venue that it's just okay to hop the fence and go play on third base or up in the stands and things like that, and it's not. It's a criminal offense. That is an enclosed area. Obviously, there's walls, there are gates, and you can't go in there. So it happened again Tuesday night. Four people, I believe three teenagers and an adult, were in there, were caught inside there, and they were charged appropriately with trespassing. They didn't hurt anything or steal anything, but we just want to say again that it's a close. It's private property, and you can't be in there. And I don't think that anybody that's gone in there after hours has not been caught. Without going into the detail on how we know that you're in there, we just do. And it's not a good idea to jump that wall and go in there to play.
Okay, yeah, I don't want to give away your methods and tactics, sources and methods or whatever, but, I think we can all infer probably you have ways of knowing that would indicate the presence of people, and they've found all the ones who have been there, so I appreciate knowing that. We had this wild story involving Larry Downs Jr., of course, local political, I don't know, agitator, activist, I don't know what you want to call him exactly. He's a friend, but his kids – who are part of his plumbing business were doing a plumbing job. And what happened? This is a wild story.
Well, they, in the words of Channel 3, they helped us crack the case. They were on site working on a plumbing issue.
You did not. You did not just say that.
No, I did not. I did not. This is creative writing by the staff at Channel 3. And when I saw that, I knew the comments were going to start rolling in, and they absolutely did.
Oh, that's fantastic. And Go on.
Yeah, and if you know Mr. Downs, I'm sure that he didn't have an issue with that at all.
No.
He has a sense of humor as well.
Yeah, he does.
But yeah, they were working up in Northwoods when a female came outside. She was made aware that there was a person trying to get into her pickup truck. She saw him, and he started walking away to where the plumbers were working. She asked him for assistance and told them that he just tried to get into her pickup truck. They followed him. He ended up picking up a piece of PVC that belonged to them and threatened them with it. So eventually he put that down and ran off into the woods. Officers were able to locate him a short time later at a church near that location and was able to take him into custody.
Using what, a drone and a dog and a canine, is that right?
Yes, we had the drone. We had a canine over there. We had the assistance from the sheriff's office. And he was located and charged.
We're talking about this case where the basically the woman found out that her truck was getting burgled, and she comes out. The guys leave as she starts yelling at him, but he leaves right in front of two of Larry Down Jr.'s kids who are working on a project and a plumbing project. And she asks them for help, and then they help, and they kind of get into a little bit of a mini scuffle. What I think is amazing is, you know, like Larry's a big MMA guy, and I'm assuming that his kids he's taught them some of that stuff. So probably picked a poor fight choice here, but it can be a dangerous situation if you get into a fight with somebody you don't know, or you pursue them. Like, they didn't want to pursue him into the woods because they don't know if he's armed, right?
Yeah, and that was a very smart decision on their part. This is a decision you have to make when someone asks you for assistance. You have to look at the totality of the circumstances, just like we do and everybody does. And they decided at that point that it was safe to follow him. But once he went into the woods, then that can present other problems. You don't know if he'd just taken something out of another vehicle, maybe even a weapon of some sort. So that's a decision that you have to make. And it looks like they made the right one. And, you know, it's a good thing that are people that are still around that will help their fellow man in times of distress.
Amen.
But you do have to take everything into consideration before you do that.
In fact, you know, some people might have the question, do you have to help? Are you obligated to help? Maybe they saw the last episode of Seinfeld and they think, oh, man, you can get arrested for being the indifferent standby. Are you obligated to help? If, like in that case, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, they're good kids. They're going to do what's right and they're going to help a woman out. But are you obligated to do it? What kind of legal status do you have when somebody asks you like that?
Well, can we slip into this week's myth?
Sure.
Right now, can we?
Because I still have a follow-up question about the crime, but sure. Yeah, go ahead.
So the myth is that you must help. So here's where the confusion is. You do not have to help in a situation like what happened up at the apartment complex. You do have to help if you come up on, say, a traffic crash where someone is injured and you can't just pass by that. You must render aid. But you do not, if somebody asks you for help, if somebody just broke into their car, you do not have to jump in and do that because, again, you never know that person may have just, you know, it would have been different to these two plumbers yesterday if that lady would have said, this man just stole a gun out of my truck. That changes everything. So you do not have to help in situations like that. However, you do, by law, have to help if a police officer asks you to intervene to assist him or her in the affecting an arrest.
Really? Interesting. So, I mean, I would, of course, but if a cop says, hey, help me, you can't say no?
That's correct. You can be charged with that.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, I bet.
You can also be charged if you see someone injured, you know, if you see someone injured and you fail to render aid, you can also be charged with that. But helping somebody who just broke into your home or to your vehicle or, you know, helping you, you know, please help me change a tire, those type situations, you do not have to. There's no law that says that you must help in those situations.
Wow. I don't think I knew that. I mean, it's not anything contrary to what I would have done, but it's good to tell people that because, I mean, I'm sure if I didn't know, a lot of people didn't know it. I do have a question, though. The reporting indicated that maybe this person, this detainee, suspect, whatever, was here illegally. Do you know anything about that, or have we confirmed anything like that?
I don't know. We were made aware of that, but that was not something that we could confirm at the time.
Okay. Okay. All right, fair enough. I have a question on a completely different topic, only because, you know, we had the No Kings protests, of course. I know you are well aware of what happened in Fairhope. And since it's, you know, police enforcement or, you know, what I would say would be overstepping enforcement, I'm sure you guys have had conversations about what to do the next time we have a protest here in Pensacola. Any part of this that would yield guidance that you want to give to the public ahead of time in case somebody says, oh, well, I saw what we did over there. You know, let's try something like that in Pensacola. Anything you want to tell us?
No. you know, that's a situation that it's going to have to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. I can understand both sides of that situation.
Yeah.
But we have to enforce the law the way it's written. And each situation that pops up, we will have to look at that and decide if there's being, you know, if rights are being taken away or if laws are being broken. We have to decide that on a case-by-case basis. So for me to speculate if something like that happens in Pensacola would probably be inappropriate at this point.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Worth asking about. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time, clarifying things, teaching us the law, teaching us how to, you know, I mean, like we learned two things about the law today that maybe people didn't know. So I appreciate that. We'll talk to you again next week, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Absolutely. So is there any guidance you want to give us? Nope. I love Mike so much. And, you know, he teaches. He goes to all these seminars for public relations and, you know, teaches other cops how to communicate effectively. Mike is the best. And part of what makes him the best is not just that he knows when not to say something. That's, I mean, which is not a skill I've mastered. But
yes, I can attest.
But, you know, one of the things that makes him so great at his job is, you know, he understands the value of having open lines of communication. And of getting ahead of stories and of being a valuable resource and of telling us things before, you know, before we start asking questions. You know, we don't have to go to him and say, hey, I heard this. Do you know anything? I mean, he will answer those, but he knows what's happened and he tells us all in advance. So just, you know, incredibly good work as a public information officer. 547 on News Radio 92. I always use him as an example whenever I get invited to be on these like media panels or whatever for various events. And I'm like, just be a better Mike Wood, you know. Just look at what Mike does and do whatever he's doing because it's the right thing. All right, 437-1620, 437-1620. If you need to get that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. One of the things about their inventory is it's constantly replenishing, right? Because they're always selling cars. So about half of their cars on inventory, about 300. They sell about half every month, so about 150 leave. But that means they need to replenish this. They need to restock. So they're always on the lookout for good quality, new-ish, like 1 to 3 years young, low-miles cars that they can then sell to you and warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles, and you get a lot of life out of them. So that means that they're always going to car auctions, they're always checking with corporate leases, and they're always acquiring cars from all kinds of sources, including you. So if you have a car to sell that's relatively new and you would like to sell it easily and get a good price for it, go to Frontier Motors, and they'll give you, you know, 15 minutes, zip-zop, you're done. Or if you think it's not, you know, that's not a good enough price for you, you want a little bit higher price and you're willing to wait a little bit longer because a higher price car might sell a little slower, they'll take it on consignment, you know, minimum threshold kind of thing. And no charge, no fee. They just need the inventory and you want to sell the car. So it's a win-win. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
You know, you got a big mouth, you know?
Why don't you come out and close it, bad boy? Come on.
All right, I'm going to go way out on a very, very sturdy limb here and guess that, John, you have no idea who this is.
No, but I love it.
You recognize the sound, maybe the voice? You're going to know it when I say it.
I know, and then I'm going to have to hurt you.
The voice is Perry Farrell, the primary lead singer at Jane's Addiction.
Right.
Or Porno for Pyros. Or in this case, Satellite Party is the name of this band that he did on his own. Oh, I just love it. I love finding music I didn't know existed. And, you know, I'm always going and looking and looking for stuff from bands that I don't have that album or didn't know that project or, hey, what did they do after that? You know, kind of stuff. And then
your brain never stops.
No. And when I find, you know, and a lot of it is, you know, there's a reason I didn't know about it. But then there's stuff I'm like, oh, man, that's so good. I can't believe I went all this time, you know, without having heard that. So it's just my gift to you, Satellite Party. 550 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. We'll get to David in just a second. He's doing a news report, which is how that works. What else do we have going on? I think this is going to turn out to be non-news, is what I think. But it's a note worth making you aware of. You remember the Obergefell decision, the one that legalized same-sex marriage for the entire country? A while back now. Gosh, 2014 or 15? Okay. And you remember as a result of that decision, you had the Kim Davis, the clerk of the court, who decided that she was not going to obey that rule, and then because she said it violated her Christian conscience, and then she got told to do it, and she said still no, and then they arrested her, and she said still no, and there was all of these, and then they eventually said, well, you don't have to sign your name to it, and you don't have to put your signature on it, so you still have to issue them, but you don't have to do anything personal, and I guess she did that. Well, there was this lawsuit that arose out of that because the couple of gay guys that she denied a marriage certificate to sued her, and she kept losing. Well, this case has finally, after all this time, you know, 9-10 years later, yeah, it was 2015, has now percolated up to the Supreme Court, where she has petitioned the Supreme Court to overturn the ruling against her. My understanding is because it actually was a charge against her that she was going to have to pay money to them. And her argument is, well, look, if I don't have sovereign immunity as a representative of the government, then it must be because I'm an individual. Well, if I'm an individual, then it must be that I have conscience rights under the First Amendment to exercise or not my religion without coercion from the government. You can't have it both ways. You can't treat me as a representative of the government, therefore obliged to follow a law I find unconscionable, and you wouldn't be able to find me. Or, you know, like, or I'm an individual and I'm susceptible, but hey, I got conscience rights and then I'm allowed to say no, in which case I also don't have to pay. That's kind of her horns of the dilemma prong that she's putting to the Supreme Court. Well, the respondents, you know, the other side is basically saying she waited way too long to come up with this novel argument, which is, there's a truth to that, the way this works in judicial proceedings. But the Supreme Court is finally going to take up the question of whether to take up the question. They have these conferences where they all get together and they decide which cases to consider and which cases not to consider. And 90% of the cases, in fact, the number might be higher than that, they say no to. They say no to all kinds of cases. And this is one that they probably will say no to, is my guess. They just won't hear it. But if they are in the mindset to overturn Obergefell, as in to take away the Supreme Court stance that the Constitution protects the right to gay marriage, if there are enough of the, you know, if they're betting that there's somebody that's got them and four other votes, because the court has changed since Obergefell significantly, well, you might have them take up this case and you might see Obergefell struck down. So just kind of, you know, back of mind awareness that coming up in November, the Supreme Court is going to start. And they don't even take up a case right away. Sometimes they'll hear it 2, 3, 20 times. Like they'll consider it a bunch and then they agree to hear it finally. So the fact that they don't hear it first time on November 7th doesn't mean anything necessarily. But just kind of be aware that that's out there percolating maybe. Although, again, I think it's unlikely that they're going to wind up taking this case. 554 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Baristas at Starbucks could be going on strike soon. Starbucks Workers United says a strike authorization vote is set to begin today. That'll remain open for several days. The union says they're also planning a series of rallies and pickets over the weekend at Starbucks locations in dozens of U.S. cities. Several current and former NBA players and coaches facing charges tied to illegal gambling and game-fixing schemes. FBI investigators say Miami Heat player Terry Rozier and former coach Damon Jones used insider information to place bets. Portland Trailblazers coach Chauncey Billups also arrested in a separate poker scheme linked apparently to the Italian-American mafia. More than 30 people in total facing charges in that case.
It's a crazy story. We played some clips about that at the beginning of the hour, and you know, using poker tables that have x-ray machines, using card shufflers that would tell you what cards were in what order in the deck, you know, using glasses that could see, you know, special invisible ink to mark the cards, even little cameras in the chip trays.
Right.
And that's not even talking about the basketball side of things where they were, you know, rebound shaving and leaving games with injuries when they, you know, so you could bet the under on some of these stats. Like, it's wild. And hey, why not? Involve the mafia, of course. Fantastic.
Is this the first major mafia thing that we've heard of in decades now?
Yeah,
I don't remember hearing anything about the mafia in a long time.
I think the primary public knowledge of mob activity is in TV and movies.
Right.
Where you would think like every fourth person is a mobster. But you don't hear a lot about the mob very often.
The mob is making a comeback.
Right. You heard it here first. Oh, my God.
That's right. Breaking news.
Breaking news about breaking legs. Look at what you did.
An Oregon school being investigated, Andrew, after students were accidentally served pretzels sprinkled with oven cleaner during a sixth grade lunch. Authorities say the cleaner was mistaken for salt after being crushed and left on a counter. Students were advised they should rinse their mouths, eat bland foods, and monitor their symptoms.
What? There's no part of that story that makes any sense. First of all, why would you ever be crushing? What was the exact substance? It was drain cleaner?
It was an oven cleaner.
Oven cleaner.
Yeah, an oven cleaner.
Oven cleaner is a spray.
Usually. Yeah.
It's not a crystalline substance that you would crush on the counter unless I'm just dumb. Every oven cleaner I've ever used was spray.
Must be a different type. But yeah, I always use the oven off or whatever the spray is. And
why would you need to clean it? Or why would you need to crush it? Why would you crush it on a counter, you idiot? Why would you leave it on the counter, you idiot? Why would you then come along and, oh, you know what I need to do with this random crushed substance on the counter in my kitchen? I should put that on the pretzels. And then give it to the kids. This story doesn't add up.
And
this
then
is
just tell the kids, you'll be okay. Just eat bland food.
That's a remedy, I guess. But you know how, like, Chip is always saying that they get these people that get shot, and then they tell them, you know, I don't know. We weren't doing anything wrong. We were just sitting here playing Monopoly, and suddenly this gun dropped out of the ceiling and shot me in the leg. Like, they tell stories that just don't make any sense. This is a story that just doesn't make any sense to me. So I'll look for more information in the future. That's what I think.
And I'm with you. It doesn't quite add up.
Yeah. Yeah. David, thanks so much for the update. 557 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? COVID vaccine. This is actually really weird. You know, there are some people that they felt very suppressed during the COVID era, and they feel like they've been vindicated on the wickedness, badness, side effectsness, whatever you might say about COVID-19 vaccines. I don't think they're right, but they are very loud on social media whenever the topic comes up. But okay, fine. These people will not like the following news story. It looks like mRNA-style vaccines had a completely unexpected side benefit. They seem to reduce the incidence of, or the consequences of cancer. Yeah, so here's the, this is way outside of my medical knowledge, but basically the molecule that makes these kind of vaccines work, the mRNA vaccines, appears to boost the immune system response so that it's kind of like a catalyst for cutting-edge cancer treatments, making them more effective. This is from a University of Florida and MD Anderson Research Cancer Center in Houston research that says vaccinated lung cancer patients who had been gotten the mRNA vaccine during COVID, like the Moderna vaccine, for example, were nearly twice as likely to be alive 3 years after beginning cancer treatment as unvaccinated patients. And it had nothing to do with whether they got COVID. It was entirely a matter of how the COVID vaccine with the mRNA factor would produce some kind of enhanced immune response that helped their body take this particular kind of cancer treatment and work effectively. There was another one. Melanoma cases had a little bit better survival rate, but not. It was statistically significant, but not massive, not like the twice as much. And they said the people who had got the non-mRNA vaccines, remember when some of the subsequent vaccines came out that were not based on the mRNA technology, like flu shots or other things, that made no difference. So it's just uniquely that particular kind of thing. 6 o'clock here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's News Radio 92.3, WNRP, AM 1620, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9, with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Ontario, the Reagan Foundation, though, took issue with it, saying the ad misrepresents the presidential radio address and